Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
It is also outrageously exciting. The eclipse is upon us, and you know what that means.
Soon. Soon it will all be over.
That's right. We're just a couple hours away from the end of the world. No? Yes? All I know is I brought the whole rig outside. I am outdoors because I want to see the darkness happen. I'm not talking about Joe Biden progressive darkness. I'm talking about, you know, darkness. Tony Katz today. Good to be with you. 833-GOT-TONY, 833-468-8669. That's the number. Definitely, you could share with me anything eclipse-related on X at Tony Katz. You could do that through TonyKatz.com. You can call in. Don't mind. So this whole conversation is about who is on the path of totality. The vast majority of the country is going to see some part of this eclipse. The conversation, the reason that people have been flocking places, like, for example, my beloved Indiana, is that we in parts of Indiana, parts of Arkansas, parts of Texas, I don't think Oklahoma really got, no, Oklahoma did, didn't it? Isn't there like a southeastern part? Yeah, southeastern part of Oklahoma. Like where Oklahoma hits, hits Arkansas and then see Shreveport's out. So Shreveport is going to see something happen, but they're not going to get the thing. The thing is when you see the full, what do you call it, the corona? You've got the moon directly in front of the sun, and you just have that outer ring. That's the what they call the business kids, the money shot. That is the eclipse money shot right there. Said it, meant it, not apologizing. And there are only certain places along this path that are going to get that. Other spots in the country, so for example, Tampa, Florida. Tampa, Florida will be about 55%. They'll see something. They just won't see everything. Now, the vast majority of let's say, Oklahoma, because they get the show later than everybody else, so they've got like 80, 85% of it, so they'll see something cool. Just only certain places get the whole thing. Where I'm sitting right now, outside of Indianapolis, we're getting the motherlode. We're getting the whole thing, and if you follow me on X, came out, I do a morning radio show, I do a morning show in Indianapolis, I came outside, I work from home. And I look in the sky, and first of all, there had been lots of talk about clouds. And you understand that hundreds of thousands of people have traveled, millions across the country, but hundreds of thousands of people have come to Indiana. They've come to other states, so millions of people across the country to see this. So there are small towns along the path that are making huge money over the last couple of days. And then in Indiana, it got crazier because the NCAA championship tonight, Purdue, and I don't even care who else. It's UConn. But Purdue is in this thing, so that means that all of these places that were already going to do pretty good business are now going to do double the business because everyone's going to be like, well, I'm in Indiana. I might as well root for Purdue and go out and watch the game tonight. So that's a whole nother thing that's going to happen. Hotel rooms, there was a Hampton Inn that was going for $1,750 a night, and it was a four-night minimum. Four-night minimum. That's thousands and thousands of dollars that are getting spent, so everybody is super excited about this. Not too far from where I'm at is the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which is the home of the Indy 500, which I would tell you that if you have never done it, no matter where you are, that's a bucket list item. The place is bigger than life, and then once a year it becomes a small city. The place holds 300,000 people, and once a year there are 300,000 people all watching. It's crazy. So they are having huge events because there's a lot of good places to do viewing from there. They've already got the traffic is lined up beyond belief, people trying to get in and get set up. So much so that there are warnings all along these states, right? So you start in Texas. This thing crosses Texas. Well, really, you start in Mexico, right? It's like illegal immigration. You start in Mexico. Well, no, you could start in Central America or China. You end up crossing through Mexico. There it is. Much better said. And you cross through Mexico, right? And it's going from west to east, and it's going in this northeastern direction. And it will cross Texas in the southern part of Oklahoma, will cross a nice swath of Arkansas in the southeastern part of Missouri, and then the southeastern part of Illinois, which is great because the people of Chicago deserve nothing. Then it crosses the middle of Indiana. You get to the northwestern part of Ohio, and then as it gets into Canada, it'll hit Buffalo and those places in very, very northern New York, and then really upper Maine gets a beautiful view of it. That's by 3:35 Eastern. And then I don't know what happens because it's not happening in the United States, so therefore nobody cares. I'm pretty sure. Isn't that the way we view the whole? No. So this is all going on. This is the story. So wherever you are within this, you got to understand two things. A, it's cool. Go have fun with it. It's a good time. My gosh, have a good time with it. Enjoy it. You know, It people are taking off from work. Some people are like, oh my gosh, they close schools. Well, if you're in the pathway and you can see the thing, all right. Well, it's just proving that because of COVID, we're not serious about education anymore. Children, we weren't serious about education before. Taking a day off to see an eclipse might be the most educational thing these kids have done all year. It's a day without indoctrination. We should be happy about this. But leave it to people on the political right to find something wrong with that. Not everything is a conspiracy. Although some things are really a conspiracy. Not everything is a conspiracy. Just stop already. He took a day off. I know there are places that are doing half days of work. All right, everybody go home. Go check it out. And there's also, I think there's a safety and traffic concern in that some people don't want to be out in this. So around every city has its own thing. Around Indianapolis, 465. And there's a concern, at just like on 65 or on 95 on the East Coast, wherever, you know, 70 going across. Odd goes north and south and even goes east and west, in case you didn't know that. How the roads work, right? That's how it works. If it's an odd number, 95, 65, 75, that's north-south. But 70, 74, et cetera, those are east-west. Odds, north-south. There's a concern that you're going to have people see this eclipse coming, and they're just going to stop right there in the middle of the roadway. They're just going to stop. So, wait, Tony, you mean they're going to pull over? No. They're going to stop. Because people are crazy. They're certifiable at times. So they're going to stop, and there's real concern that there's going to be crazy, crazy accidents. I am not concerned about that. I am only concerned that, of course, the eclipse means the end of times.
We're all going to die.
That's my concern. And you know who there is to blame.
Damn you, Taylor Swift.
So, her and Travis Kelce, they made this happen. All I know is before they started dating, nobody talked about the eclipse. And the only person really talking about the eclipse now is Donald Trump.
I do the best eclipses. My eclipses are far better, far safer. Make eclipses great again.
So, by the way, do I have to remind people that that's not real? That he didn't really say that? We did. We used the AI for that. But you have to give the warning, don't you? I thought about not giving the warning and just seeing how far it could travel. Like, how social media viral could this be?
I do the best eclipses. My eclipses are far better, far safer. Make eclipses great again.
So, you should know I did write that. It's not like I asked AI to just come up with it. I did write it. It's super creepy. You can do that. It is super creepy. So Eclipse is the story. Eclipse is the issue. So I hope you, for those who are doing it real time, enjoy it. If you're listening later, I hope you did enjoy it. Let's make sure everybody stays safe. There is a lot to get to. It's all coming up. This is Tony Katz today. Eclipse broadcasting outdoors from what I used to dub the Freedom Deck. I used to do Cam Edwards was the host of Cam and Company on NRA TV, and now he's with Bearing Arms and does wonderful work. But our timing just doesn't work out because of how we now do the shows. But I used to do the show with him. I used to do it from the Freedom Deck, and it's not every day that I get to broadcast from outside. I'm smoking a cigar. Getting ready, Tony Katz. Tony Katz today smoking the Plasencia Reserva. So this actually doesn't come from the U.S. This is out of Europe is where this one gets distributed. But this group, Plasencia, makes probably the best cigars in America right now. As not an upstart brand, but maybe a little bit less known. But with what they're famous for is they have the farms in Nicaragua and other places, and they started holding back tobacco for themselves to make their own cigars. And just about everything is on point. Just about everything. This is a great cigar, an incredibly good price point. I got this story about a ship, a container ship in New York. I'm not talking about Baltimore. In what's known as the Dali, in this cargo ship that hit the Francis Scott Key Bridge. The bridge got destroyed. You saw the picture, 6 people dead. How did this happen? Power issues with the boat. Power issues that were known. Maybe propulsion issues from when they were in dock in Santiago, Chile. How does this happen? Well, we haven't gotten an answer to how this happens. Certainly we haven't gotten an answer to why was it that the supports of the bridge, how come they were not protected? When the cargo ship hit the supports, if you look at photos, there was nothing around the support. If you go to a local convenience store, gas station, they sell the propane tanks, you'll notice that there are concrete barriers in front of that. Like usually concrete poles, and certainly there's a cage and trying to keep you from ramming the thing. That was not the case of these supports for the Francis Scott Key Bridge there in Baltimore, Port of Baltimore. That certainly is odd. That certainly is odd. Then we hear this story. Now, the Verrazano Narrows connects Staten Island and Brooklyn. Growing up, I took the Verrazano Narrows almost every weekend. My grandmother lived in Brooklyn. My grandmother's lived in Brooklyn. My grandfather, when he was alive, lived in Brooklyn. And from Staten Island, from Jersey, Staten Island, it was the Gothels Bridge. And then through Staten Island, oh, look, there's a landfill. And then, the people of Staten Island would love that joke. And then you would take the Verrazano over to the Belt Parkway, and you would take that to Ethel, my grandmother, Ethel, rest her soul. The Verrazano is some iconic stuff. Just the look, the span, the everything else. And now you have the 354-meter container ship Qingdao losing power while in that harbor and near the Verrazano Narrows. And you say to yourself, if you're a conspiracy theorist, okay, what's happening here? The Qingdao, Qingdao, weighed 89,000 tons, and it lost propulsion about 8:30 p.m. The question before us is not necessarily what's happening with these ships, who's doing this, what's the attack, cyber this. I will not say that I have any level of certitude that there isn't some issue like that happening, but I'm not a conspiracy theorist guy. But it's certainly possible. I just don't know if it's probable, but it's not actually the first place I go. the first place I go is, hey, I know nothing about these container ships. How often do they lose propulsion? What is the age of these ships? What are the standard issues that they have, like, for example, electrical system issues? And how often does this occur that we know nothing about? If you tell me, Tony, a ship loses propulsion probably 3 times in any transatlantic crossing, I don't know if I'm paying as much attention. I'd be paying more attention to, well, how do we fix this? And then how do we ensure that the supports for bridges are well fortified? What is the cause of this? Is it older ships, the cost of refitting, cost of making, et cetera? If you say to me, Tony, if a ship loses propulsion, everybody on the ship dies and the billions of dollars of cargo get lost. These things don't lose propulsion. These guys will run out of drinking water before that ship loses propulsion. If you say that to me, I say to you, oh, well then, we have ourselves a definitive issue now, don't we? But we haven't answered that question. We have not answered that question. We have not even begun to really take a look at that level of data. We need to. The King Dow, by the way, 89,000 tons, as I said, registered in Malta. And yeah, there are pictures. There are pictures of it. They're right there in front of the Verrazano, just hanging out. By the way, no one would call it the Verrazano Narrows. They would just call it the Verrazano. Now, I'm also pronouncing it wrong. I've always, since I'm a child, called it the Verrazano. It's the Verrazano. There is no first N. It is just an old school, I was a kid and that's how I heard it, and forever and a day, that's how I have pronounced it. So please don't think that somehow I've lost my head or my mind. It is wrong for anybody to say that it's outlandish for you and I to have a conversation about what might be happening here. We aren't doing anything wrong by having the conversation. As a matter of fact, we should be discussing with seriousness whether or not COVID, SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19, leaked from a lab in Wuhan where they were working on gain-of-function research on bats and coronaviruses. Because, well, of course it leaked from a lab. Of course it did. Tony, you don't know that for sure. Okay. I also don't know for sure that Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. And I just want to say for the record, I just want to put it out there. Okay. Anyway, Jeffrey Epstein, is this on? Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself. Just, that's how I know. Because you can make the argument of you'll never know. I'll make the argument of maybe, but I think I got an idea. I don't know yet about these ships. Of course we can talk about it, though, and of course we should be doing research. We should be looking into this. Who knows about these things? Who discusses these things? Where can we go and read the record? It is not misinformation to have this conversation. It would be misinformation to say X number of ships have this happen if I didn't know the information. That would be misinformation. That would be wrong. That would be a problem. I'm not doing that. I'm saying this is odd. Why don't we look into this? This is odd. Is this something that normally happens, or is this something that rarely happens? This is odd. Who would know? And then take a look at the information. And then when someone tells us, hey, that information is misinformation, we can say to them, whoa, 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 we'll read it first. Then we'll decide. You don't get to decide just because you don't want us to read it. Go away. You're small and pathetic and weak, and we'd rather kick you than look at you. Goodbye. So hopefully we'll start getting some more information on this. This is Tony Katz today.
I need to laugh.
Let's bring on the eclipse, people. I mean, it's coming. The moon is going to block the sun. In a
special way. The big yellow one's the sun!
That it is, Brian Regan. And then it's going to be dark for a while, and then it won't be. And everyone's losing their mind and hopefully having some fun. Me, I decided to bring the whole thing outdoors, cigar in hand. So, I don't know, maybe someone's going to mow the lawn. Maybe some kid is going to be playing. The birds are kind of nutty. Who knows? Tony Katz today, 833-GOT-TONY, 833-468-8669. So far, skies are clear. What is the name of the high clouds? Because there was concern, at least in our area, that there would be low-level cloud cover. You wouldn't see anything. These clouds, very high, the experts are saying no issue, no problem. You're going to get to see some seriously good eclipse. Because we're in the path of totality, but there's a name for the there's a name for the clouds. I want to be clear that John Fetterman is not a conservative, and people have to stop making the foolhardy statement that he is. No, he's not. Not in the slightest. What John Fetterman has done is on a couple of instances, on a couple of subjects, he's just been normal. And we are so taken when somebody just does something normal, just does something rational. Whether it be from the political right, especially the political left, we lose our minds. And very often what happens is that the political right falls in love. The old adage is, the left falls in line, the right falls in love. We take one thing that somebody said and we decided that the greatest person ever. Elon Musk is not the greatest person ever. Elon Musk buying Twitter, turning it into X, showed us and exposed to us exactly how awful these other people really are. Never forget how terrible Jack Dorsey is as a person. I don't care if he hangs around with Jay-Z and Beyonce. Only shows that they don't have taste in good people. Don't tell me about Stripe or whatever it is he owns. There are other credit card processing platforms. Sometimes you have to use it because of its ubiquitousness. And I say this, full disclosure, my family's in that business. Please don't think I wouldn't mention those things. I mention everything. That guy allowed a bloated company to keep people from speaking. Shame on, to hell with Jack Dorsey. But Elon Musk is not a savior. Not everything he says is great. Not everything he does is wonderful. There are only two people in your life who are perfect. It's yourself and Jesus, and you don't even believe it about yourself. That's the way that one goes. Why? Politically, we do this. We see somebody who says something that we agree with, and instead of just saying, wow, I agree with them, it's, my gosh, invite them to speak. My gosh, I have to get their podcast. They should have a podcast. Let them do. And then they let you down. Dave Chappelle makes great arguments for the ability to tell a joke, and if people are offended, who cares? It doesn't matter if they're offended. Them being offended is completely and totally meaningless. You're offended by a joke?
F these people.
Don't care. It doesn't matter. But Dave Chappelle has said things where he is politically completely and totally wrong. I am a huge fan of the stand-up special of his. Not Equanimity. That's a good one. The Bird Revelation. And it's still on Netflix. And part of it is not that. I'll say it this way: some of it doesn't hold up, and I'll get to the reasons why. But what I am a fan of, never mind his telling the story at the end. I don't want to ruin it for you. It is clear that what he is having is a total vomiting of the soul. This, whether he's being funny or not, I don't even think he thought about it. I don't think he knew about it at the moment. I don't even think he cared. That's how much I saw this as Raw. Now, I'm not comparing it to Raw, the Eddie Murphy special from back in the day. I'm saying that he was Raw. He was just bearing everything to the world, to himself. It's to me a fascinating exploration. But he tells some jokes or engages some conversations, and one of those is about Colin Kaepernick and how Colin Kaepernick didn't have to stand up and say anything or take a knee and say anything about police brutality. No. He did that for us. His belly was full. That's the exact line that Chappelle uses. Belly was full. He didn't have to say anything. Colin Kaepernick did absolutely nothing for you, nor did he do anything for anybody else, nor did he raise awareness of a subject, nor did he change anything in the United States. Zero. Colin Kaepernick wanted to either enrich himself with social capital or with financial capital, and this is the way he did it. He did nothing for you, Dave Chappelle, and I would debate that anywhere. I mean, I'm not angry about it. Just pleasantly, you know, a cigar and a drink. I mean, you're flat out wrong. Your life did not change. No one's life changed. It wasn't even conversation. Conversation didn't come from Colin Kaepernick taking a knee. Screaming, yelling nonsense from every side came from that. But nothing changed. It's not like it settled down and we said, okay, this is something we should get into. Nope. Didn't happen. You can argue, well, Tony, you're not in the neighborhoods or in the culture where it happened. I'm saying it didn't happen anywhere. People might still talk about it as so important, but there is no translation to the street or to the state house. None. Chappelle says things I agree with, and I believe Chappelle has the ability to speak and tell jokes, even if someone in the quote-unquote transgender community doesn't like it, because I don't care if they like it. Thinking something is funny or not funny, that's up to you. Thinking somebody should be destroyed for it, go to hell. No interest in your thought process there that somehow you get to decide. John Fetterman is a progressive. John Fetterman thinks that not only is transgenderism something to embrace, that in children it's acceptable. He has discussed gender-affirming care. Gender-affirming care is code word for abusing children. Never acceptable. He's wrong. We're not debating. He's wrong. I would tell him he's wrong. I would say this is what happens when you wear a hoodie all day. You come up with bad ideas. But on Israel, the guy has been outrageously strong. Saying to his own party, Hamas is a terrorist organization, what the bloody hell is wrong with all you people? You're going to cut off selling arms to Israel? Hamas is the problem. We should be just cutting off the head of Hamas. Those are my words, but I'm paraphrasing his take on this. He's absolutely accurate, and it's kind of stunning to see somebody be so outrageously strong in a party filled with so many Jew-hating bigots. Whether it's Jamal Bowman or Ocasio-Cortez or Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib or Andre Carson or Chris Van Hollen, the senator from Maryland, name your person. And now you've got Joe Biden, but I'll try and get to that story later. Now Fetterman, in an interview that he did with John Levine, which was, I think, an exclusive to the New York Post. And so I think they went to a Michelin star restaurant and Levine meets him in a hoodie and shorts. Well done, you're trying to get the interview. Does the sit down with him? They start talking about squatters. Holy cow, this conversation's still going on. This whole idea that, you know, someone will see a house and you're on vacation. You're on vacation, you're not in the house, and all of a sudden they break into the house. You get back to the house, they're living in your house. You're like, get out of my house. They're like, nope. And the police sides with them. This is happening in New York and other places where the laws don't actually protect property rights. They protect the idea of pretending to have property rights. And they make you go through a legal system that isn't designed to help you. It's designed to hurt you. It's designed to financially punish you because you don't just go through a legal system. You pay through a legal system. That's what you do. And so you get damaged having to remove somebody who clearly shouldn't be in your house. You have the deed. You have this, you have that. They claim to have a lease. Goodbye. Throw them out. Throw them out. That's what should happen. And if they get thrown out physically, well, honestly, I hope it hurts. Tony, you can't say that. What? They tried to take your house, and they want to cause you pain. You mean if they get a skinned knee when they get thrown off the front porch, I should be worried about it? I would rather they didn't do anything and weren't a bunch of jerks. But they're jerks, so, you know, sometimes the jerk gets a skinned knee. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? These things happen. As Nancy Pelosi so artfully explained to us a few years back during the George Floyd riots, people are going to do what they do. Those are exact words. Oh, you should look it up. She says it in such a nonchalant throwaway. People are going to do what they do. They're burning down police stations. People are going to do what they do. You want to know how violent these people are. They are. So the squatter thing is now everywhere. Now there's conversations about legislation, everything else. New York City homeowners, this according to Sarah Arnold over at Town Hall, have been told that if you have a squatter in your home and you turn off the electricity, you'll be arrested. I can't get into my house. I have to pay for their water and their electricity too. And it seems that under New York City law, anyone who lives in a home or apartment for at least 30 days can claim squatter rights, even if they broke into the property without permission from the owner. And several homeowners telling local CBS affiliate that they would be arrested if they changed the lock to evict the squatters or turned off necessities such as hot water, including you have to keep up the home. Like, keep the lawn mowed and everything else. It's a $250 per day fine, up to $15,000, punishable by 5 years in jail. That's abuse at the hands of the state government of New York. And I will remind New York that you could have voted for Lee Zeldin, but you voted for Kathy Hochul, so quit bitching. Now, admittedly, I should state, so for clarity, that a lot of this legislation happened before progressive Kathy Hochul, before progressive and nursing home killer Andrew Cuomo. This has been the issue for a while. As a matter of fact, I would assume that these things were also on the books in the days of Rudy Giuliani. But these things are nuts. This is surreal stuff. Thus the conversation with Fetterman, who stated, and I'm quoting here, "Squatters have no rights. How can you even pretend that this is anything other than you're just breaking the law?" And then he followed it up with, "I am not woke." He brings up something that is a good discussion. We use woke as a catch-all, just like the political left uses fascist as a catch-all. They don't know what fascist is. They don't know what fascist means. Fascism is government working in concert with big business. That's actual fascism. Then there's the very concept that if you were to look at a political spectrum, and you would see, I think they would say communism on the far left and totalitarianism on the far right, and you'd see fascism on the right side of the political spectrum. Now, never mind that political spectrums aren't actually lines, they're circles. And that's a whole heavy thing. And we're talking about how societies kind of, over the years, the decades, the century, the millennia, they repeat on themselves. It's the same thing like hard times make strong men make good times make weak men make hard times. It's that, which is a pretty interesting concept you can run around in your head. But fascism, actually, don't think of it as a place on the political spectrum as if it's somehow a political ideology. It's a tool. It's a tool of those in power to be able to create more power through more violent activity, threats, coercion, etc. The idea that communists don't use this tool because it's from the political right seems to, under scrutiny, be a bunch of nonsense. We utilize, like they utilize fascism, we utilize the concept of woke. Things we don't agree with, they're just so woke. And by doing so, we took the word away from the insanity leftists, and they really are bothered by that. But it doesn't mean it applies to everything. Is John Fetterman woke? Well, if you think that children can change their gender, you're certainly terrible. But it's interesting. It was an interesting declaration. I am not woke. But on squatters, just like Israel, he is right. And it's super weird to have to say you agree, but the rational mind should agree with what's agreeable. Squatters are breaking the law, and there is nothing else. Also, Israel has the right to exist and defend itself, no matter what Joe Biden says. I'm Tony Katz. This is Tony Katz Today.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I am a hurricane.
My God. The sun.
What is it, Simon?
A large fiery ball at the center of our solar system, but that's not important now.
Bring on the eclipse. I'm sitting outside. I'm smoking a cigar. Let's see the end of the freaking world already. I was promised it would be insane. It would be just a mess. Everybody would be just falling apart. So far, all I got are birds singing. Somebody doing their lawn. I am outside, broadcasting outside. Someone's doing some lawn work. That's not what I was told. I was told the eclipse was going to bring the end.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
So, I'm waiting to see what'll happen.
Soon it will all be over.
Well, that's not ominous at all. Tony Katz today. I had somebody predict that 9 months from now, there are going to be a lot of eclipse babies. And I had not tied the two things together. Does an eclipse usually mean, it's a good reason for us to, And if somebody giggles like that, that's not somebody you should have sex with. But I don't know if it's true. I am very curious to see if it works out that way. I would assume a fair amount of proposals today. The sun comes back out and it's like, hey, let's start a life together. I assume that bit of cheesiness will indeed happen. And I only hope it's a very happy marriage. We're watching. We're waiting for it. Joe Biden's commentary on Israel, he's a disgusting, disgusting man. Not nice, not kind, not grandfatherly. He's disgusting. So let us put an end to this idea that somehow he embodies decency. I will explain coming up. This is Tony Katz Today.